deliver your visions and dreams. So that was last week's message. If you didn't get it, I encourage you to get it. Today I want to talk about breakthrough faith. And we were couching last week's in context to transformation, faith that transforms us. Today I want to talk about faith that causes breakthrough in your lives. So whatever that is, Father, I pray for breakthrough in lives all around this room. And whatever that represents, I pray for breakthrough in each individual life. And I pray, God, that you tailor this word to each individual person here today, that they could receive a deposit that changes their lives. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want us to go out of Hebrews 11:30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. And then right after they talk about faith, there's a whole journey that Israel had, even after Jericho's walls fell down, where they went into the land. But today I want to just focus on that beginning point. But let's just start there. I want to look at Joshua 6:1-5. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Joshua 6:2. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him." Now, that's a pretty huge promise. And what God was telling Joshua was some pretty good news, because Joshua had taken over leadership, and here he's taking them into the promised land, and they come against Jericho, and Jericho was a force to be reckoned with. Jericho was a pretty intimidating start. He needed a breakthrough for where he was going and what God was going to take him to do. But some of us, we say, okay, that was Jericho back there. We don't need a history lesson. You know, what's the point? Well, there was Jerichos in different ways in a lot of different people. If you look at the Bible, Paul had the Romans. They were his Jericho, the religious of his community. They were his Jericho. They stood in opposition to him, in between him and his destiny. Paul even talked about the thorn in the flesh, and some people say it was a physical thing. I believe it was people that would come behind his meetings and say that they were that Paul's teachings were false and that he wasn't a real apostle, and they were super apostles, and he addressed that later. Daniel had some lions. Those were some walls. That was Daniel's Jericho. I mean, getting thrown in a pit with lions that crush people before they hit the ground, and I'm going in there. That was a wall. Moses had the Red Sea. We're going to take all these people. There's an ocean in between us, God. Hello. That was his Jericho. And David had Goliath. And, you know, no wall is too small. You might say, well, you know, mine is this thing. And if it's hindering you from getting to where you're going, it needs to come down. I said, if it's hindering you to getting to where you're going, it needs to come down. You know, if you have a freight train flying, you know, down the railroad tracks, you could put 5 foot thick of cinder block and it'll bust through 5 foot of block and just keep on busting through. But if you get that train moving real slow, you can stop it with a 2-inch capstone. 2-inch, 5 foot, momentum makes all the difference. Faith makes a difference of your breakthrough. And even a little thing when you don't have faith is a big thing. Are you with me? So Jericho, the city of Jericho, Jericho was an ancient city. It was around thousands of years before Joshua was ever even born. It was one of the oldest cities in the world, and it was one of the oldest strongholds. And this was literally a stronghold backed up to a mountain. It had a palm forest on one side, really thick. It had walls that were huge. And then they had a wall on top of the wall. They had a wall taller than the roof of the church here that you could see, and then a wall on top of that wall. And the chariots could drive around on the top of the first wall, and they had a wall on top of that. I mean, Jericho, when you went to the walls were intimidating. The walls had skulls of people hanging from them and actually embedded in some of it. They were really intimidating. It was like a haunted mansion kind of look on the walls. I mean, serious. They made it really scary to say, like, if you try to come against these walls, you too are going to end up hanging from these walls. And so it was pretty intimidating, and you know, just by looking at it, it intimidated its enemies. But Joshua, I like what in Joshua 1:11, there was something really good there before we get into this. I know I'm doing the pre before, but here we go. Joshua 1:11, he said, "Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan. You will go in and possess this land, which the Lord your God has given you to possess." And many of us, we get a prophecy, man, I'm going to go do this. We get a word from God, boy, I'm going to go do this. We get a vision and a dream, man, I'm going to set plans and set out, I'm going to do this. We make a business plan and we start and we put things in motion. We have this promised land or promise we're setting out towards. And as we set out towards it, it's no different than where they were. But what I want you to see is when he said, go and possess this land, we need to look at this. This Hebrew word possess means to occupy by driving out the previous inhabitants. So in context of transforming the mind, if you're going to possess, if you're going to build healthy thoughts and build a transformed way of thinking, you got to drive out the old way of thinking. But some of us think, well, that's just a stronghold. It's been around. That city was around thousands of years. All sin's been around a long time. You say, well, you know, the gay and lesbian agenda, oh my goodness, what it's like today. Go back and read Socrates. Read some of the old writings. It sounds like today's universities. It does. You say, well, you know, bulimia and this and that. Romans used to eat and then throw up and have troughs and then go back and eat more. Gluttony was around. Sexual perversion was around. Greed was around. All these sins are just as ancient as the walls of those cities. So if you have some kind of a wall that's keeping you from your Jericho, you got a Jericho. God's going to bust the Jericho down. There isn't any sin that should hold back the people of God. There isn't any sin too great for the blood of Jesus Christ. And we need to dispossess thoughts. Well, I have always thought that way. That's been the way of a way of thinking. Well, let's bust it down. We don't have to keep it. We must dispossess thoughts. And any Jericho kind of thinking, anything that keeps us from sozo thinking, from safe thinking, from, you know, sozo, it speaks of this. It speaks of safe thinking. You know, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And that word is sozo, and it's safe thinking. It's safe thoughts. It's not thoughts of, oh my goodness, look at the wall. I'll never fulfill what God's called me to do. Oh, God's called me to do something. Then he allows a big wall to get between you. He would not have the character that our God has if he did that. So breakthrough faith will tear down the walls that keeps you from the promises. But notice what God says to Joshua. And I believe it's to all of us today in Joshua 6:2. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands, its king and the mighty men of valor. God didn't say to Joshua, take the city, Joshua. God said, receive the city. God said, I already did it. I want you to receive it. Breakthrough faith isn't something that we've got to earn and strive, and like a lemon tree trying to grow a lemon, we got to sit there going, grow, grow, grow. Faith, come. And somehow we can squeeze it out. It doesn't happen that way. God already paid for it. Jesus already purchased it. We get to receive it. Joshua didn't even go forward hoping he was going to win. This is awesome. God just told me, I really believe we might have a chance, guys. He wasn't hoping. He went forward knowing that God was going to give him the city. He went forward knowing. And in like manner, we have one greater than Joshua today. Jesus, I mean, think about it. Jesus won the battle on the cross. He beat the power of sin and death. He won and paid for our freedom so we could receive breakthrough kind of faith. So that when things oppose us, we can break through. And we get to live in that faith and walk forward into that territory that God has given us. And our Jerichos, man, they could represent all kinds of things. They could be insecurities. It could be guilt from our past. It could be anger or a mindset that keeps you, unbelief. It could be anything that keeps you from your mission and ministry. It's a Jericho. It needs to come down. Because God is the author and the finisher of our faith. And the devil's the hinderer of our faith. He's the one who puts those stumbling stones and stumbling blocks. He's the one who puts the blocks up. That's why even in the scriptures, Jesus said, woe unto you who stumble even one of these little ones. It's like, you know, well, you know, I got a revelation, man. I can party and I'm okay with that. Go stumble one of these little ones and let them party and see what happens to you. I mean, I wouldn't want to stumble someone else and cause them to sin. If you have liberty, you don't. What about someone else who doesn't have the same control that you have? See, conviction is something we have to be sensitive to each person's conviction. So people ask me a lot of times, how come you don't talk about this, that? Because I don't impose my convictions on you. I want to train you and let you come up with your own convictions. I'm not going to impose my convictions on you. If it's black and white, I want to preach it. If there's a gray area, I want to let the Holy Ghost tell you. I want to teach you to walk and how to hear the Spirit of God. And when you can hear the Spirit of God, you'll know what, and you'll develop your own convictions. And you walk that out. So how do we possess breakthrough faith and remove these Jericho walls? Number one is we encounter Jesus. We come to church. We don't just come to church. Well, I don't need the church. We come to encounter Jesus. And I have an encounter here. I mean, I encounter him in my car. I encounter him in my house. But when I encounter him here, there's something really special about the corporate encounter. It's awesome. Because all of our faith together, it's like, boom, we just break through. It's like there's a habitation of God's presence that's so awesome. It's not even just like visit me and a little visitation here and there. And I like all those visitations, but I like that habitation. And they've been building and preparing and praying and prayer teams praying and worship teams preparing for that worship set. It wasn't they just got up and sang a few sing songs. They were preparing for you. They've been sowing and believing so that we could press in. For us to have an encounter. Joshua had an encounter. In Joshua 5:13 it says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him, just hanging out like normal, right? With his sword drawn in his hand. Check this out. This is no just like, oh yeah, here's a guy. A man standing opposite with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and he said, are you for us or for our adversaries? I want to know right away, which side are you on? Are you on our side or their side? Are you on Jericho's army? Are you part of Jericho's army or our army? And the response was, he said, no, but the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. What he basically said was, I'm not part of either of those armies. You got two armies you just named. Both of those are earthly armies. There's a third army, and we better get aware of the third army. Come on, somebody. If you're in trouble and all you look at is your strength and the strength of what's opposing you, you have missed something. Because he said, neither of those. How about there's a whole other army and I'm the commander? One angel could put 10,000 to flight. Look at Revelation 19. What damage one angel could do. One angel, let alone thousands upon 10,000s that the Bible talks about. I saw thousands upon 10,000s and thousands around the throne. Thousands upon 10,000s of angels. There's an army that he commands. I'm just saying. People say we shouldn't get all that excited about. No, I'm excited about the commander of that army of angels. His name is Jesus. And he's pretty powerful. Joshua falls to his face. That's too good too. Joshua fell to his face to the earth and he worshiped. And he said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your foot. The place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, how do we know it's the commander of the Lord's army is Jesus? Because I just said so, but that let's go a little deeper. You're like, you just said so. I'm like, no, let's put a little scripture to it. Psalms 103:20-21 says, blessed the Lord. It says, bless the Lord you, his angels, who excel in strength. I just told you they're strong, right? Who do his word, heeding the voice of the Lord. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. So angels do his pleasure, and angels are pretty strong, right? And angels are there to strengthen us, right? He commands them. We don't command angels, but God commands angels to strengthen us. He's the commander. But John tried to worship an angel in Revelation 19, and that didn't go so good for John. Because the angel refused to be worshipped, right? He's like, hey, get up. Don't do that. So if John was rebuked when he tries to worship an angel, if this was an angel, he would have refused Joshua's worship. Yet he encouraged Joshua's worship, even told him to take off his shoes. Now, Joshua was, who was Joshua's mentor? Come on, Children's Church knows this stuff. Come on. It's not a trick. Who was Joshua's mentor? Moses. And what did God say at the burning bush to Moses? And don't you think Joshua heard that how many times? He's probably like, Moses, come up with some new stuff, man. But he knew it, and when he's told him, he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He told Moses, he's my mentor. I'm gonna do that too. And so, I mean, just think about this. This is powerful. I was thinking about this. Before Joseph and praise God, you know, you're looking into little Hunter's face, you know, and Hunter's born, and you got to look into Hunter's face, but before Joseph ever looked into the eyes of his baby boy at Bethlehem, Joshua was talking to him face to face at Jericho. That's pretty powerful. They call it a theophany. Awesome. Pre-incarnation, an appearance. God manifest in the flesh. He had a body. He held a sword. He was standing there prior to his birth on this earth. You say, well, I don't know if God could do, I don't know. Come on. I don't know if God, read your Bible. It's happened more than once. But this is pretty powerful. So there was something. Now think about this. He has a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. And so he has an encounter with Jesus before this great breakthrough. We have to receive forgiveness and have an encounter with Jesus before we're going to receive breakthrough faith. And you think, well, those were all biblical characters. And it's like, but we have so much more in a new covenant. Now think of the image that was etched into Joshua's mind. He sees Jesus standing with his sword drawn in his hand. He sees the Lord strong and mighty. He wasn't seeing this British Jesus, weak, limp-wristed, kind of blue-eyed, hello, bless thee. You can tell how much I just really don't like that image. He sees the Lord strong and mighty, buff with a sword in battle. He sees Jesus in his strength, commander of an army and not an earthly army. That was burned into his head on purpose because God gave him a call, and when he gives you a call, he'll give you the strength to fulfill your call. And I think that image was burned in his head so he could always remember the Lord strong and mighty, the commander of the Lord's army, commander of all the angels. He already heard the stories from Moses, and now he's being challenged to go in and do something, to take up where Moses was and to lead and dispossess an enemy. And Joshua's saying, man, I got some bad warriors. They are bad to the bone, but there's some giants out there. I've been in there. I've spied this place out. And so I think the Lord was giving him a little bit, and I think we need to learn from that and take it in ourselves, because God wants us to think about that before we face some Jericho and start talking about how big the Jericho is compared to how big our God is. And that brings us to our second point, is don't look at the strength of the walls, but look at the strength of the Lord. Number two is look at Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne. Look unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you're going to have breakthrough faith, you got to look unto Jesus. When everything's going crazy, you got to look for Jesus. And something that you got to look for Jesus and look for the breakthrough and expect the breakthrough, not whatever's intimidating you. You got to look to the sword-drawn commander. See, Moses was Joshua's mentor. And Moses was Joshua's mentor. Moses was Joshua's mentor. So Moses was already mentoring Joshua's thinking. He was already transforming his thinking. And you say, well, you know, they didn't have written Bible like we had, and they didn't have all those things. But they had mentors, and the mentors would speak to them, and they memorized books of the Bible. They spent a lot of time mentoring. In the Hebrew society, they mentored. We in our society, we say, I'm a Christian, but I don't need a connect group. You know, I don't need mentors. That's not the biblical role model. It's not at all. The biblical role model, you had mentors. And anyway, Moses mentored Joshua. And as he did, he already started to shift some things in Joshua. And when he saw Joshua, he might have seen Joshua as this young, strong leader, because Joshua was. Joshua was a young, strong leader. Joshua had a lot of potential. And it says in Numbers 13:8 that from the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. That's in Numbers 13:8. Eight verses later, it shifts. You see, Joshua's name used to be Hoshea, which means savior. So here's Joshua. His name means savior. And then you see eight verses later is Numbers 13:16. These are the names of the men who Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Moses renames Joshua. Joshua had a different name. Joshua's name meant savior. Now, I don't know, but a name like savior might give you a little complex. Moses changed it. He shifted it. And there's something here for us because Joshua, because his name used to mean savior, he switched his name to Jehovah is salvation. See, Joshua's grandpapa was the head of the tribe of Ephraim. So he was the head of Ephraim. He was like bad to the bone. And now here's Joshua. If Joshua was sent to spy out the land, Joshua was the head of, because who did Moses send to go out and spy out the lands? He sent leaders. He sent the heads of the tribes. He sent people who were strong and mighty. He sent leaders. He didn't send let's get the wimpiest guy in our clan and send him out there so he'll get tore up. No, he sent the leaders. So he sent leaders into the land, and Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report, and 10 leaders failed that test. So here's Joshua, strong and mighty. We can take these guys with Caleb, remember? We can take these guys. We can do this thing. My granddaddy's ahead of Ephraim. I am Joshua. I am, man, we could do this. We could even, my name means savior. They've been saying it forever. Come on, we'll go in and say, let's save these people. You know, they're wimping and sniveling. Let's take over. Let's get this thing done. And his mentor had to shift his thinking. And his mentor said, instead of keep looking at yourself as a savior, I'm going to switch your name to mean Jehovah's salvation. So instead of looking at yourself, I want you to look to God. Because if we're going to have Jericho break in faith, we need to look to the Savior, Jehovah. We need to look to the God who can break the walls. It's not us. It's not all the self-help books only going to take you so far. It's the book of books that's going to point us to Christ. So Moses saw the potential in him. Moses saw the leadership in him, and he didn't want him to get prideful or narcissistic. And there's a lot of gift-centered, narcissistic people that are all about themselves, and they're not Christ-centered. They're gift-centered. But God's shifting the gift-centered movement to the Christ-centered movement. God's shifting it where it's not just a woman of God, a man of God who is carrying it all, but all the people of God. He's shifting it to empower all of us, not just one of us. But there is a plague to Christianity, and narcissism's a plague. It's a plague running rampant right now like it's never run in any generation before. They even polled them, and I don't know where the poll came. I heard a leadership conference I was at, and they said before maybe 20% of the college graduates had a problem with narcissism, and now it's up to 80% of the college graduates have a narcissistic problem. Self-centered, self-thinking, it's all about me, the world revolves. It's like the kid with the strong will who thinks the world revolves around him, and you're like, oh my goodness. But do that with an adult. And when it doesn't go their way, they do a baby fit in a different way with power and control. So Moses already knew that narcissistic stuff isn't going to work, and that pride thing. So he's already working it out of Joshua before. So Joshua was set up for success by his mentor before he ever did what he did. Amen. He knew that Joshua, if you stay in that kind of mindset, you'll blow up your ministry. So implode or explode, either is just as bad. You can't have either. So Joshua encountered Jesus prior to the walls coming down. So he'd give him the credit. And that's a good lesson for us. We need to give Jesus the credit. When stuff's going good, it's God's doing a good thing. When it gets messed up, we need to grow some more. You know what I mean? You didn't get healed. That's because I'm learning in this thing and I'm growing. We don't dump it on people. We dump it. It's us. God doesn't have a problem healing. God doesn't have a problem with anything. Just saying. Colossians 1:26, the mystery which had been hidden from the ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, that's us, to them God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have a new covenant, and now it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but but Christ lives in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh. We have to live a life in the flesh. So God knocked some walls down, but they had to walk it out. Jesus paid the price on the cross, but we still live a life, and we have a fleshly body. So the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by what? That faith is that breakthrough kind of faith. And Paul had it. Paul, he gave it to us. He said, I live in the flesh, but he's saying, I live by faith in the Son of God. And he's even declaring, it's not even me who lives. I'm trying to die to myself in this flesh and live by faith. That's my whole mission. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, faith in the Son of God, faith in the Son of God, yet he's in me. So my faith rests in the Son of God, but yet the Son of God rests in me, the hope of glory. So if something good comes out of me, Paul's saying, it's Christ in me that's coming out. And so if we keep a level head and God's doing great things, we understand it's Christ in us that's doing those things. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Instead of like, man, I'm all that. I need to get a magazine. I need to expand my social media. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, like Joshua, just saying, we need to encounter Jesus and then we need to look to Jesus. But Jesus is in us now in this new covenant. So number three is don't speak about your Jericho. Speak to it with faith. And it's in God's timing. Joshua 6:10, now Joshua had commanded the people saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, nor shall the word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. A lot of people are shouting when God didn't tell them to shout. See, some people feel they have to create a villain to justify their victim mentality. Oh, I just said it, didn't I? I just pushed it over. I'm feeling like I was used and abused, so I got to create a villain. So I got to talk smack about somebody because if I can create a villain, then I don't have to take responsibility for the fact that I'm feeling like I got hurt. If you got hurt, welcome to life. Because Jesus said, in all of this, you'll have persecutions. We get rejections, we get hurt, we get pain, but we get to deal with it in God's way. And the way we do that is we say, it's not I who live, it's Christ who live in me. And if I'm getting persecuted, I'm just going to rejoice that I'm sharing in the sufferings of Christ. But if I'm narcissistic and it's all about me and I have pain, it's got to be about you because I'll make you the villain. Because if it's all about me, I can't handle that that I could be wrong. So it's got to be you. You're the villain, you're the villain, you're the villain, and everyone's a villain. So when you hear people start dropping that, it's like, I always look and go, they're playing the orphan. Got to watch that. Don't speak about your Jericho. Speak to your Jericho. God doesn't want us to speak. God doesn't want us to speak like God doesn't want us to create villains. God doesn't want us to act like victims. God wants us to act like victors. And when you're feeling like a victim, you need to go back and look to Jesus, the victory, the champion, the one who's holding the sword, the one who commands the armies of the Lord. We need to go back and look to Jesus and say, my victory's in you. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I might feel like a victim. I might feel stepped on. I might feel this. I might feel that. Deal with myself. Christ is in me. The hope of glory. I'm more than a conqueror because of what he already did. So if I go through these that Paul called these minor afflictions. Look what he went through and he called minor afflictions. If you can resume out greater things than Paul went through, set an appointment and come talk to me about... Sorry. I'm just saying, I'm sorry. That probably went off there. I'm just saying, it's like, those are light afflictions. It's like, whoa, me, okay. Get a grip here, people. Come on. More than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. So what did he do? God let them hear the trumpets. He let the shouts come out of their mouths before this thing came down. I think, you know, praise is a powerful force to bring down strong walls that oppose us. You could just come in and just worship in the church for a season and you're going to leave with a bunch of strongholds broken. Because they went and they let the trumpets sound. See, I at first always pictured that they were walking around and everyone was completely quiet. They weren't. The trumpeters were trumpeting before the ark. every time they marched. Every day they went, the trumpets were trumpeting. The praise went out 6 days, but it was the seventh before it broke. Say, well, you know, I've been going. Are you completely committed to praise, even when the breakthrough hasn't happened yet? Are you committed even when you don't see it yet? Because it was the seventh day that when it manifests. See, what you focus on, you empower. So if I keep focusing on the champion, I'm going to start getting that champion spirit inside of me. And number four is we need to take our fears to God. It's interesting that the seven priests and the seven trumpets went around with the ark and continually blew the trumpets. And the ark, they circled their troubles with praise, and they circled their troubles with the presence of the Lord. So when we take our fears into the presence of God, they fall, they melt away. When we take, and don't leave until you possess that breakthrough faith. Just go in and say, God, I'm gonna put on a worship album, and I'm not leaving this room until I feel like I'm walking in victory. And you just start declaring and speaking and praising God and thanking God. That's what David did. Call on that breakthrough faith. Call it. Reject fearful thoughts. Command that faith thinking. And trust in the Lord with all your heart, and all our ways acknowledge him. And with our mouths, we need to declare it and watch what he does. And finally, the last one is we get to demonstrate breakthrough faith. We demonstrate breakthrough faith. Joshua, it says that the people shouted and the priest blew the trumpets. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it happened that when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout and the wall fell flat. And the people went into the city, every man straight before him. They took the city. Powerful. God just knocked the walls down and they just went in. Most of the warriors would have been lined up on the wall, and it probably crushed most of the valiant men when the walls went down. God took out most of the army and just said, just go in and plunder the place. You know, William Armstrong said this, as I just close out here. He said, a teacher can light the lantern and put it in your hand, but you must walk in the dark. You're going to get stuff here, and you're going to get it, and you're going to get it spoken, but you still got to walk it out. My life's crucified with Christ, yep, but I still live in this flesh body, and I get to live according to that faith. But when I get it, and I say, yes, it's based on what you've done, and I'm going to declare that breakthrough faith, I'm going to walk in that faith. And remember, our opening text and our main thought is, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And by faith, whatever it's you're facing, faith is what's going to make it fall down. They didn't take a hammer to one stone. They didn't push against one wall. They didn't help God. God knocked the wall down. Then they went in and took it. And sometimes those strongholds, God's the one who breaks down strongholds. God's the one who's the stronger one who binds the devil. God's the one who does the... God's the one who loses favor. God's the one... Every good gift comes from above. It comes from God. Oh, I made this happen. So when we possess that and carry that, and we say, I'm settling that you're the commander, and you're in charge, and you're in charge of all those angels. Send some of them my way. I don't talk to angels, but I talk to God. It's a mistake sometimes. Well, you shouldn't talk to angels. Okay, I know that. But God's the one who commands them. I can't command angels, but I can talk to God. Send me strength. Send me help. Send me relief. Send some of your bad boys this way and break this thing up. I need a breakthrough right here. We're ambassadors of a word, and we get to speak his word. We get to speak to it. It tells us that we get to command the mountain. When we get that faith, we speak to the mountain. And it says, and nothing will be impossible for us when we're walking in that faith. We get to speak to sickness. We get to speak to cancers. We speak to tumors and watch them shrink. We speak to illnesses and watch them die. We speak to demons and watch them flee. We speak to our future, and we declare the blessing of God. Our preferred future, our vision is the preferred. What do you prefer? Speak to it. I'm not talking about saying things that don't back up the word of God, but speak the word of God. I am blessed with a blessing. I have favor. Psalms 5:12, your favor surrounds me like a shield. It surrounds my children. It surrounds my family. We speak the word of God. We speak it in faith. And when we speak it in faith, those walls come down. Are you with me? Would you stand with me today? I hope you got it, because all I can do is light the lantern and put it in your hand. You still get to walk out those doors into the greatest mission field called life. But I tell you right now, you might have flesh and bones, and you may have fears and weaknesses, and you may have things he throws your way, but God's given you a faith that'll bust every Jericho. Because one greater than Jericho, one who commands the greater army, is the one who's in you. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. I just want to pray for you. And as we close out, I just want to give an opportunity, if you'll bow your heads for a second. If you don't know Jesus, you say, well, I've known about God, but I don't know that God. You've got to know him to call upon him. And he wants to call you his own. The Bible tells us that if you just confess your sins, that he's faithful to forgive you and cleanse you. And I just want to ask you, if you got sins that need to be confessed, it's that simple as to say, God, forgive me. You don't have to list them all out. You don't have to tell everybody around you, but you do need to talk to him and say, forgive me. So I just want to ask you, if you're in this room and you say, I need forgiveness and I want to do that. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I've already prayed a prayer. Maybe you prayed a prayer of salvation before, but you're not living it and you need to deal with something. If that's you in the room right now and you say, I either need to be saved or I need to get back on track, just raise your hand and say, that's me right here. I'm going to pray that prayer. Amen. You can put your hand down. Amen. Amen. I just want to see I'm connecting with somebody. But all of you, I'd like you to pray this prayer. Whether you lift a hand, it's what's in your heart. I want you to pray this in faith all around the room. Even if you're doing good and you say, I'm doing fine, we can still pray this prayer and say, Father, forgive my sins. Now I'm just going to preach this little sentence here. When we ask him to forgive our sins, he cleanses us, and then we can have an encounter because we can get connected with the one. When the blood of Jesus washes us, we have access to the throne. You have access to encounters every day. In the old, it's singular. In the new, it's plural. You get multiple encounters. But I pray you encounter him. And I want you to just finish this prayer and say, I receive forgiveness today. And now whatever that is, God knows how to fill in the blanks. The blood of Jesus is stronger than any sin, all sin. And he says, if you confess your sin, I'm faithful to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So as you confess, you're forgiven of all. The devil will try to say, not this one, not that one. Jesus says all. I believe Jesus. So standing cleansed, then he would tell the person who was in sin, he'd say, go and sin no more. Now you get to walk out life in faith instead of in the flesh. Yeah, you walk in the flesh, but you walk by faith in the Son of God. And that breakthrough faith will go with you. Lean on it. Feed it by reading the Word. Transform your mind, but activate it. Speak it, declare it, and walk in it. Not prideful, but confident. Not focusing on self of what's in you as a man, but focused on Emmanuel who's inside of us. Release the faith of the one who's inside of us. And I just pray that over you right now. I pray, God, and I thank you that even as you've forgiven, I pray today that they would release Emmanuel, release God in us, release the God who will tear down those Jerichos, release the God who will do the miraculous, release the God of the impossible, release the God into all circumstance, release the creative God, release the God of favor, the God of might, the God of power, the God of nurture. Release all of your attributes into their lives and all those they encounter. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hope you got something good. God bless you. Have an awesome week. Hey, there's a prayer team coming up here. If you need prayer, come on up and pray. If there was a word of knowledge and you didn't